Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Eurobytes. Today's episode is the episode of July 26th, 2026. With me is Christian, hailing in from Scotland. Not with us today are Todd and Fabian, who are both absent due to work needs. You're both excused. Christian, we've got two topics to talk about today. One is not a really bad thing. It's a UK theme. And the other one is a sad thing that happened yesterday on July 25th in Germany, in Berlin, to be more precise. What's going on in the UK, out of all places?
Well, I mean, before we started this episode, we agreed, hey, why don't we start on a lighter note, which these days isn't all that easy, given, you know, the incident we're going to talk about in Germany in a second, and another incident in the United Kingdom. But let's say we've got a new prime minister. As you know, I'd always joke the Starbolt, the Starminator is gone. The comedian Nick Dixon, very talented guy. You should listen to his podcast. It's also available on Spotify called The Next New Thing. Always joke that after the nuclear fallout in a war with Russia or Iran or whatever, it's only going to be two species that are going to be alive on Earth. One would be cockroaches and the other one would be Keir Starmer. And I will not resign. I will absolutely not resign. No, he has obviously resigned, or his party made him resign after he lost an election, which is the one thing parties can forgive. They can forgive all kinds of scandals, but they don't forgive you losing elections. And now we've got Andy Burnham in power, and a lot of comedians call me Andy, Andy Burnham. He's very personable. He speaks with a broad Northern German and Northern English accent, you know, tries to really always highlight his working class credentials, speaking with a Northern accent. Interesting enough, if you see old videos of him in Oxford debates, he did go to Oxford. He speaks quite a bit posher, but now he rediscovered his Northern roots, speaks with a Northern accent, always talks about how awesome Manchester is, even though he's actually from the city that has somewhat of a bitter rivalry with Manchester, namely Liverpool. Be that as it may, Andy the Eyelashes Burnham, as another media commentator always calls him, because he's got this, he's slightly older than myself, I don't know, he's like in his mid-50s or so, and he's got this perfect head of black hair, and without envy, people kind of keep joking about his perfect black hair, and his super personable bit, and for whatever reason, he's got enormous eyelashes. That's why we call him the Eyelashes. He's in power. Day after day, he regales us with new sound bites, and Britain needs to work for everyone again, and we need to build more. And like, that's all these kind of commonplaces that everybody agrees. So he's different from Keir Starmer in the sense that he's not as wooden, not as robotic. He did a couple of things that will prove to be popular even with the right in the first couple of days. He threw out the virtual ID, the electronic ID that would make you identifiable throughout the web. That was popular. But for the rest, it's just talking points and remind ourselves of Tony Blair in the 1990s, who also was that kind of populist politician. Hey, I'm Tony, I understand you, okay? So yeah. And I guess that's sort of on a lighter note. He's in power. He's making us feel good again. but, you know, sooner or later, he will run into the issue of needing to finance all of this.
Yeah. So, is there any difference in terms of migration policy to be expected?
Huh. Yeah, no, well, you raise an interesting issue. So far, Labour had a woman herself of Pakistani roots, Shabana Mahmood, and she seemed to be actually quite genuine about wanting to do something about especially illegal but also legal migration. To their credit, and to show how terrible the British quote-unquote conservatives, the Tories, were, Labour has brought down immigration considerably, like from the height of the what we call the Boris bulge, where migration shot up to like 1.2 million people a year. It has dropped to something like 400,000. Nota bene, when I say 400,000, that's net migration. So a lot of English people still move away. So we still probably got an 800,000 people, but, you know, so it has come down. But you know, I mean, the other day we had coming like across the channel arrived what we call a super dinghy. Now, a dinghy is like a giant inflatable boat, and it was like the biggest boat to date. So no, I mean, they seem to be soft pedaling the migration issue, and they're focusing on the social democrat bread and butter kind of issues, housing, and we need to do more for the north of the country, kind of the rust belt of the UK, if you will. And so with all that talk about that immigration and crime, so immigration has moved to the bottom, and even crime have moved slightly up. They're like, oh, you know, like Keir Starmer, he wanted to release a lot of prisoners because we don't have space in our prisons anymore, and they've now somehow dialed that back. And so they've masterfully boxed immigration so far to the bottom of the list. And he doesn't seem to be as hot on the issue, but sooner or later it is going to be the election deciding issue. However, mind you, he wasn't elected directly by the people. He took over, Keir Starmer got the mandate, Keir Starmer was removed, but that doesn't trigger automatically an election in the United Kingdom. So Andy Burnham still has 3 years to do whatever he pleases. So he doesn't need to please voters. So yeah, let's see where this goes.
This can be very interesting. Thank you, Christian. So UK being the one topic, but obviously what's in our minds today as well is the aftermath of the attack on the Berlin Christmas Street Day. Yesterday on Saturday night, the parade came to an abrupt halt when a German-born citizen with Lebanese roots, not going to say the name now, decided to move a rental truck, or like one of these Americans don't have these things, I think, you know, it's these European style transport vehicles,
a
station wagon with a high buildup. He drove that into a crowd. One person died, 29 in parts severely injured. The perpetrator himself died today after a police operation found him in something that Americans somehow don't need to know, a small garden, Kleingartenanlage.
It's like called an allotment in the United Kingdom. It is, if you don't have a garden because you live in an apartment, you can somehow rent an external garden somewhere. The Brits call it an allotment. I don't think Americans know it because they don't really
need
it.
You're not allowed to live there unless you lived there before 1979. It's this small garden lot things, or German law has a lot of things about these. It's really fun, but today it was not fun. They found the guy, they apprehended him, and he took a knife, ran at a policeman who then shot him. The interesting thing, though, is Germany has not had 1 year without Islamic terrorism now. And Germany never had an attack on a gay parade, basically. Everyone was very quick in pointing out this was terrorism. You know, sometimes, we also had this in our pre-discussion before the episode, for the past terror attacks, according to some media outlets, they were, in fact, not terror attacks, but rather the actions of mentally ill people, which they all are. Whoever is a terrorist is mentally ill by definition. That is the clear definition of terrorism. The interesting thing, though, is that this is now being considered a right-wing terror attack, for example, by the queer spokesperson of the Berlin Social Democrats. Now, what's a very interesting thing is some days ago, there was a poll organized by Bild, the major German tabloid, kind of like the Daily Mail or the somehow like USA Today, I think, in earlier days. Bild found that AfD was number one in Berlin, with Berlin having a very odd polling structure right now. So I think the strongest party is like 21%, with second and third in place at 18-16%. So it's kind of like it's a very head-to-head race. And it seems like with this having happened, I do think that when the Berlin elections come in fall, AfD is going to have it bumps them up in the polls. Regardless of how you stand towards AfD, they're the only party that calls these situations out. That being German citizens attack German people on German soil. These people are kind of like sleeper agents, you could say. In the case of this terrorist, he was allegedly a sympathizer for the Islamic State. And the funny thing is, now I mentioned German guy, lived in Germany, attacks people in Germany, but Christian, was he always in Germany?
Well, I mean, you raise an interesting issue, especially on that, hey, this was right-wing extremism. So it turns out, and it was fascinating to see when I read through the main German media outlet, like Tagesschau, which is the state-funded news, and you know, many of the mainstream newspapers, they all omitted that one detail. They did mention that he had been convicted of robbery in Berlin, having stolen somebody's headphones. I'm like, okay, well, you know, clearly not a nice guy and all. And I think the robbery even involved a knife and all. But it's interesting enough, when I went to the British, The Telegraph, you know, very renowned newspapers and vaguely conservative, sometimes surprisingly based, sometimes good pieces of investigative journalism. Like, well, as it turns out, he wanted to join ISIS in Lebanon. He had traveled to Lebanon, where he was apprehended by the local authorities and convicted by a military tribunal for 3 months in prison. And then he just was handed over to Germany and beep, back he was. So, you know, I mean, it's clearly he wanted to join an Islamist terrorist organization in a foreign country. So the whole thing, well, he's a right-wing extremist. I mean, nowadays it is interesting, Lucas, we need to amend the mainstream's definition of right-wing extremism. Normally, everything that wasn't far left was right-wing extremism. Yeah. Yes, and especially stuff related to, you know, migration control and, God forbid, nativist points of view.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
You woke up with a sore throat and a low-grade fever. You know you are getting sick, so here's your choices. You can get sicker and miss work, try to see a doctor this week, or sit hours in a crowded waiting room at urgent care.
I have a smarter option for you. Open your medical emergency kit, match your symptoms to doctor-recommended prescription in your booklet, and take the right meds now and get well faster.
This is not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It includes doctor-prescribed medications to treat over 39 medical issues like respiratory infections, strep throat, pneumonia, UTIs, and more.
No waiting to see the doctor and no standing in line at the pharmacy. It's right here.
Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and here's how to order.
Order online fast and save $45. Your kit with prescriptions to treat common and life-saving illnesses is rushed to your door. Visit twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM. That's twc.health/CDM, promo code CDM.
But no. It even involves Islamic terrorism. So.
The issue is a serious one. And up until 2 or 3 years ago, the police crime statistics only knew two concepts of extremism, one being left-wing extremism and the other one being right-wing extremism. Now, take as an example Berlin and take Austria as an example, attacks against Jewish people, like anti-Semitic attacks against synagogues, against people wearing a Star of David, against people wearing a yarmulke or something. What is interesting is that since they decided to open up a third category, this being religiously motivated extremism, suddenly the case count of so-called right-wing extremist crimes fell down by major numbers, like more, I think it dropped at least by half. The reason for this is that back in the day, everything that was not considered openly left-wing extremist, such as, like, you know, burning the means of production or something, if you can't see that, burn it. Everything that was not clearly left-wing extremist was considered right-wing extremist. This has somehow been a tradition of Western Germany for the past decades, I think. It has ended, we have to say this, and it has shown that there's a lot of religious extremism in Germany, especially in Berlin. Berlin is one of the cities that really has no-go areas, you could say. Berlin is that city where on New Year's Eve, the police are being bombarded on Sonnenallee, which is like the main thoroughfare of one of the more migrantically shapeless areas in Berlin. You know, they consider it fireworks. The people who operate these fireworks consider them fireworks, but there is a point where the amount of black powder in one of these things turns it from a New Year's Eve blaster into a bomb, for example. And police have these things thrown at them. If it's not firecrackers, like humongous firecrackers, it is, what did we have over the past years? We had fire extinguishers being thrown at ambulances. We had people shoot light guns or like signal guns, which you know from sailing, fired these at firefighters, etc. Last year in Berlin, there was someone who fired one of these rockets into an open window, causing a whole apartment to burn out. And the interesting thing about Berlin is everything seems to fail. Now, Berlin's governor, Kai Wegner, the city-state, the mayor is the governor as well, he decided not to run for office again. Reason for this being in early January, when there was a left-wing extremist attack against a power,
transformation station.
Station, yeah. There were like 60,000 households in Berlin without electricity for almost a week. Like literally completely no electricity. This also meaning no means of communication, because in times of internet-based telephony services, you, like, once you don't have network, you can't call anyone. The landline just didn't work because there's no classic landline left. Berlin's mayor, Kai Wegner, was actually playing tennis when this happened. And he said that the moment he heard about this, he immediately called the authority, the police and firefighters. Turns out that he was like waiting 4 hours, continuing to play tennis and all these things, because, you know, a mayor's got to do what he's got to do. He needs to clear his head first. But why am I mentioning this? Berlin is a city that tends to be dysfunctional, and with these things, Berlin also has a state-run de-radicalization program.
Now, I was going to mention that.
the perpetrator was actually supposed to attend one of these de-radicalization classes tomorrow. I'm speechless, because people die because authorities fail to act. And one of the reasons why things won't improve is because Germany is in this political gridlock. Let me point out one more thing before I pass on to you. Now, the Green Party is calling for more rights on the side of the police. The police shall be able to, you know, read more social media, etc., to track your encrypted communication stuff. The funny thing is, though, when the Federal Police Act was amended in Germany this year, so typically in Germany you have state polices and the federal police is only responsible for like crime that's related to air traffic, railway traffic, and certain places where the state police manpower is just not enough. The Green Party in the German Bundestag, or the Green faction in the German Bundestag, actually voted against it. Now, just weeks later, they realize, oh, the security architecture in Germany is this abysmal. Apparently, police need more rights. So it's kind of like the spiel is continuing over and over. There's a terror attack. It's either a mentally ill guy or it's really a terrorist. In virtually all cases, not all cases, but virtually all cases, it's Islamic terrorism in Germany. People die. The chancellor has to end his vacation. He stops by, says some words, lays down some roses, leaves. We find out that the authorities knew about what this guy was up to months ago. We found out the authorities actually had the guy in custody years ago, months ago, weeks ago. And life goes on. Well, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it is interesting. I'm at the moment writing an article for another outlet on this narrative control, and that is super interesting. I mean, American viewers and listeners will know that as well. It is probably not quite as blatant in the United States, but in Europe it is very blatant. I mean, what we said, look, pretty much when Lukas Farb and I got into the podcasting business, before we knew it, suddenly there was like one migrant wanton act of violence, trying to inflict death and injury on as many Germans or infidels or whatever by their own parliaments as possible. But then very quickly it was, when Merkel opened the border, this is a great chance. It's only the best and brightest that are coming over. We need those people. They're all those doctors. And then turns out, there was the big first mass rape under the Dome of Cologne in 2015, months after Merkel having opened the border. And the state kind of tried to ignore it. And then the state could no longer ignore people slashing about with knives. So what the state then suddenly did was like, hey, this was a sad case of mental illness. And kind of as Lukas has hinted, never underestimate the ingenuity of the left. I mean, certainly in Berlin's case, the far, far, far crazy cuckoo land left to reframe an issue as, well, this is actually the right, or this is really our fault. And in a lot of cases, be that rape cases, be that knife cases, like, we haven't done enough for integration. We haven't welcomed these people enough. And that's why they went on a stabbing rampage. And in these rape cases, it's just like, because local women treat them so poorly, what are they meant to do? And they didn't know any better. And so this is the sad kind of scenario that we have on the narrative control. Interesting enough, and I did start the podcast on a light note when it came to the UK, mentioning Andy the Eyelashes Burnham, but the tragic parallel in the United Kingdom is the case of Anne Widdecombe, where first, she, a prominent politician, got murdered, and then very quickly the authorities were like, well, but we have no indication that this is a act of political violence. And they're like, why would you a priori rule that out? It's a prominent politician. How would you rule that out? Then, 2 days into her murder, we still haven't found any concrete indication of her murder, said the anti-terror police that had then taken over the kind of bit. And little by little now, the details, the gruesome details of her murder are being released. So it was this drip fed of, and by the way, like when it was announced the anti-terror police took over, they're like, well, by the way, we had a big bust of right-wing extremists that were surely going to commit a major attack. And it turns out that every single one of these 13 people that they arrested were let go. One of them had a telescope bat and a stun gun. And so Lucas, I think this is kind of what we're seeing time and again. The same tired narrative reframing and to the no stopping of the comical degrees. Over to you.
Yeah. It's, this kind of sounds like the you remember the Reusgruppe, the Sorens. Okay, so for Americans, this is kind of a funny thing. There used to be a sovereign citizen group in Germany that was busted on the grounds of trying to dissolve the government and make a coup d'etat. And the only proof was like a pallet with, I think, a metric ton of soup and goulash, like canned goulash. And the reason was... In the headquarters, some lower royalty, I think it was like a Graf Reuss, so Count Reuss. I think he's like 80 or 85. He apparently was the guy behind the attempted coup d'etat. Now, I do think that these people are not happy with what Germany has become. But they're being shown as scapegoats. I do think that governments tend to have... I wouldn't go as far as to say that governments actually run these things. This is something that you will not hear at Eurobytes. We don't believe that there's major agent provocateur groups that are funded by the government. Keep in mind, NPD in Germany is no more. They're now Die Heimat. back in 2013, I think the NPD ban was abolished or was overruled by the Federal Constitutional Court because the court said that the party was basically just a group of feds. I think the new meme term is glowies or something, right? They're like glowing in the dark. NPD Nazis were like glow in the dark Nazis. You could tell 20 yards away that they're funded by the government. An interesting thing, by the way, is that AfD has this, like, if you've ever been an NPD member, you can be an AfD member, which I think is a very important thing. And the more right-wing state groups of AfD, at times there's people who try to abolish this. I think they shouldn't do this. I do think that people can improve. I think that people who have been NPD members in, I don't know, their young adulthood can actually become normal people. This is where de-radicalization is happening on the right. But I would suggest AfD shouldn't do that because this is how you get feds into your party.
Exactly. I mean,
just one thing. The issue with the NPD people was also... they were so heartbreakingly stupid, they can't do any of the job. One really has to say the Northern German Broadcasting, also part of the federally funded broadcasting, they sometimes showed the NPD state groups in like the legislature of Mecklenburg, Western Pomerania and stuff, and you would not believe that these people are real. This is like sovereign citizen groups on steroids.
Yeah, Lucas, correct me if I'm wrong. The sovereign citizen group, I think they did find a crossbow with them, which I think it was like goulash and crossbow as the pieces of hardcore evidence that they wanted to overthrow the government. I mean, I'm asking our viewers if they can provide me with an example in history wherever a government... a well-armed, well-provisioned government has been overthrown by a bunch of senior citizens in their 70s and older with a crossbow and lots of goulash.
Well, apparently they had access to 360 guns. But the thing is, having access to 360 guns was kind of like, I think one in the group was a policeman and he had access to, one of these police lockers where there's probably 360 guns or something. Right. Nonetheless, these with the Reuss Group, since December 2023, these people are being tried in court in Frankfurt. These people are imprisoned. Just a reminder, the maximum duration you're supposed to be in administrative detention or in pre-trial detention, or, well, it's not pre-trial detention, it's like pre-conviction detention, is 2 years. Now, some of these people have been in prison for 2 years last Christmas.
Wow.
Anyway, these are important things, but the more important thing is what's happening with Germany. Dear viewer, dear listener, in September, state elections happen. So there's going to be some elections in Germany that we want to tell you about. There's one happening on September 6th, which is not even 2 months away. It is the state election in Saxony-Anhalt. There's also going to be the state election in Berlin on the 20th and September, and also in Mecklenburg, Western Pomerania. But almost unimportant, but nonetheless important, on September 13th, there's going to be the county council and city council elections in Lower Saxony. Hmm. Now, why am I mentioning this? Last week, it turned out that the state of Lower Saxony has passed a law, or they have passed the law in March, and it now requires a more in-depth validation of people's affinity with the German fundamental rights and whether they can identify with democracy or not. Now, what happened? People in this council were supposed to vote on eligibility of other people to vote. So in the Kreistag, in the county council, the county councilors had to approve each other's democracy understanding or something. Guess what? In some counties in Lower Saxony, no AfD member can run because all the other parties said you are not compliant with the free democratic order. Not just that constitutional lawyers and scholars from both sides of the political aisle, like even people on the far left, say this is not a way to pass, this is not a way to get rid of you.
Watching my friends gain more and more weight, and then eventually I got to tell you, this is a little dark, but a bad diet literally killed my whole crew.
Wow.
Diabetes, a stroke, I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's like, you had a stroke? You're not even 50 years old. You guys got to quit eating this stuff. Your body knows what's what. You're not conscious of this. But that's why people will go to the refrigerator and they'll grab this and that and the other and put together this outrageously elaborate combination of foods. Your body's trying to reach balance. Unbeknownst to us, our bodies are always trying to reach homeostasis. You can't eat all of this stuff and expect to live a long time. And one thing led to another, and I went, you know, forget this, we're going to make our own product. So we partnered with one of the world's top three biochemists where nutrition specific study is concerned. I said, all I want is the best nutritional and immune support product in the world. So we mix it in yogurt. It's a powder. I got a bag of it here. I keep one on the console all the time, you know, just so I can show people.
Yeah.
And it's a powder. Now, this is not candy. This is hardcore nutrition. And sugar is an enemy. And most people do not know that the reason these bellies are showing up on people all over the place, your body makes fat to store the toxins it can't get rid of. Mm-hmm. So it just puts them over here. But I can tell you this. You take this for 30 days and then lay off of it for 2 or 3 days, and you'll go, good grief, give me some more. Skin, nails, hair growing back. Cut yourself and it heals in half the time.
Lower Saxony does it nonetheless. We'll see how this is going. I think that regardless of how you stand towards AfD, trying to keep them off the ballot is only making people realize they're being kept off ballot, which in turn disenfranchises people from democracy. And if there's one issue that Germany has right now, it is that so many things are going wrong. People start questioning whether the current governing system is the best one. But you're not supposed to say that, because German Federal Minister for Infrastructure, Patrick Schnieder, said this some months ago. I don't know, Christian, whether you've heard him say this. He mentioned that the trains are constantly late. If this is continuing, people are wondering where's the justification for this system if they can't even get a train right. Friedrich Merz, and this is my last topic for tonight, Friedrich Merz then decided to replace the federal minister for the infrastructure with someone else. The problem is, the day he was supposed to announce the replacement at 9 in the morning, apparently got a call at 4 a.m. Off the guy who was supposed to take over, saying, you know, I'm an expert for taxation. I'm not an expert for infrastructure. You can't pick me for this job. So since Friday, Germany has one federal minister who is officially kicked out of government, but who's still a minister. And earlier today, he announced that he filed a request to be unappointed or removed from office, because he says that there's no longer any foundation of trust for him to work. And this is an interesting thing, because Friedrich Merz had the opportunity to change the system, to change his governing group, to change the German government to a big extent. Last weekend, news broke that Jens Spahn, the caucus head for the CDU-CSU caucus in the German Bundestag, so the Speaker of the House, he's not the Speaker of the House, he's like the Majority Whip. The Majority Whip turned out to have... He's a father now, and it's always good when people become parents. But for years, he has voted against surrogacy, only for him to have a kid with his same-sex husband via surrogacy in the United States. And this March, he again, CDU confirmed their stance, which is an absolute ban on surrogacy. And yeah, Jens Spahn was also voting for this ban. But at this point, the surrogate mother was 5 or 6 months pregnant. Now, you know, it's rules for thee, but not for me. And Jens Spahn stepped down. Jens Spahn is now replaced by Thorsten Frey, who used to be the minister for the chancellery. What's the American expression for this, the equivalent?
The president's office, so to speak. Yeah. Something who was an example? I mean, there was the guy under Clinton or Obama, Rahm Emanuel.
The chief of it's the head of the federal chancellery.
Yeah.
You could consider the person is like the chief of staff. The funny and somehow sad thing is that he messed up completely. You know, Friedrich Merz has had the opportunity to reshape his government. The only consequences he made are of such kind that now even conservative people who've always been critical of Friedrich Merz being too far to the left, Peter Altmaier, what's his name? The Bavarian vice governor.
They're so interchangeable, I keep forgetting.
Hubert Aiwanger. Hubert Aiwanger posted on X yesterday that he just doesn't understand how Friedrich Merz got rid of this infrastructure minister, given the fact that he was actually not
doing
responsible
his job
for the mess that the German railway system has been for the past 50 years. And I need to quote Hubert Aiwanger here. And this is really going to be my last statement for today. He stated, where are we doing it here? He says, typically you would not, pardon me, now I've got the English one. Normally you don't interfere in personal debates within the federal government. But I want to say a word about Transport Minister Patrick Schnieder. I've come to know him as a reasonable, approachable minister who listens and gives sensible answers. Wanting to fire him because he hasn't magically improved the state of the railway, which has been run down for 50 years, within a few months is a bad joke. Chancellor, you have a labor minister who says that one must fight the employers, and you haven't even publicly criticized this statement. Are you going to fire the environmental minister because it's over 30 degrees Celsius or because rivers aren't flowing uphill? Yeah. The government is in shambles, and this is a bad thing. Now, Germans love to complain about US President Trump, but I do need to say one thing. President Trump's approval ratings were never as low, neither in the first term nor in this term, as Friedrich Merz's approval levels are. Friedrich Merz is the chancellor with the lowest approval ever. When Gerhard Schröder reformed Germany with the Agenda 2010, the 2010 agenda, transforming the sick man of Europe into an economic powerhouse again, even though by using low-cost labor and by creating creating kind of like a working poor class in Germany, he was still popular. He was still more popular than Friedrich Merz is today. But in the words of Friedrich Merz, no chancellor has ever, no one has ever been treated this unfairly. He said this.
Yeah, it's just a clown card, yeah. And I think he's also said nobody had it ever as difficult as he did as a chancellor. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, yeah. It's a, God.
He literally said, no, no chancellor before me had to endure anything like this. I can only say one thing. This is very much an underperformer attitude, and Friedrich Merz would know. I would recommend Friedrich Merz should have his government work more, because he says that Germans don't work enough.
I think.
Alas, this this is all from my end today.
I think we might as well leave it there. So I guess if we were to round it up, it's a clown card on so many levels. Yeah. So not only do we have a government that doesn't tackle the important issues, but they're even incompetent with the incompetent people that they're leading. So those are very low-hanging fruit that as a leader you have to do. Don't contradict the guy who is the transportation minister and says, look, something's not going right with the railway. I'm like, oh, he might actually be starting to do his job by saying it. Don't fire that guy. Don't be as passive as you are about the guy who was hypocritical about surrogacy. I mean, yeah, so Friedrich Merz is just not a leader, regardless of what you think about his government. It's blatantly obvious for everyone. And at the same time, we're still a country in fervent denial of reality. You know, in terms of, yes, immigration and diversity is our great strength, and then you get stuff like this, and I said, oh, yeah, well, that's right-wing terrorism. Like, well, he kind of joined ISIS. It's, you know, should be a giveaway. It is interesting. I mean, I don't think we're going to end on a light note, but I'm sure next time I'll unpack part of the new performative stuff that Andy Burnham does. That's actually comical. So let's from now on start every podcast with Andy the Eyelashes Burnham.
I have to say, Friedrich Merz is plus good than Olaf Scholz in the mind of the average CDU voter, or so I thought. Turns out, no. It's good to see, though, that Andy Burnham apparently gives the British people something to have a funny and nice banter and giggle. I think calling someone Mr. Eyebrows or Mr. Eyelashes, it's kind of like a compliment, you know. Young people in Germany make memes about whether they can actually touch Friedrich Merz's bump of hair, which I think is kind of insulting. And I mean, Friedrich Merz just isn't a young man anymore, and we're not shaming anyone here, but it's good to hear that someone, apparently, regardless of whether you like his policies or not, brings in some interest into politics. I've been re-listening to a podcast on Jörg Haider, and looks and politics are a very important thing. And for the American listeners and viewers, Jörg Haider, the inventor of European style populism, one might say, is kind of like the blueprint for the initial Donald Trump campaign, I'd say. And it's very interesting what has become of the initial Jörg Haider campaign, this being Austria maybe turning into a much more right-wing country at the next election. But we'll talk about this at a different point in time. Thank you for being with us, for sticking with us through these dire times. Stay safe outside. Enjoy your evening or the rest of the day, whenever you're listening to us. Take care.
Thank you, and see you soon.